Jesus, I did pray, I'm not only hurt, I pray. book of John, chapter 14. There's a scripture, one particular one that we're going to read, but I want to give you just a little bit of background. Many years ago, when we got the privilege to go to the Holy Land,
we got the privilege to go to the Wailing Wall, the western wall of the old city of Jerusalem. And while we were there, that's where all the Jews, they will go and pray. You've seen it on television. And while we were there, they brought out the Torah. And the Torah in there is the original scriptures. It ain't like our King James. The Torah, when they brought that out, this is where King James in 1611, he had a bunch, and I'm not going to go into all history, but anyhow, that's where they come up with the English version, okay, that I can read out of English, okay? Now, the Torah, didn't get close enough. There's too many around, but if I'd have got close enough, I couldn't have read it. It'd have been in a foreign language to me, but to them, it was just perfect. Boy, they could read it. Now, you think about it. You give me a Spanish Bible, I can't do nothing with that. I can look at it. Don't mean nothing to me. It's a book. They could tell me it's a Bible, but I couldn't prove it. But the Bible that I have in front of me is in English. I can understand it and read it. But not always have I been to understand it. I could always read it. I could always read from the pages. Didn't make a lot of sense because I read it like a book. You read a Bible like a book, it'll give you a fit. Because you're reading one section, you come along, you're reading. Luckily, if you can get in the New Testament and reading the gospel, and you think, well, wait a minute, I'm reading that and I already read that before. Maybe it worded a little bit, why? Didn't make sense. But the Bible is my instructional book. It's a roadmap. It kind of helps me. To a person that hadn't read the Bible, it's not a lot of help. Very confusing. Words that's used in that Bible is not words that I use today. Why don't we change the Bible? Well, if we change the Bible, you change the Bible to suit your needs, and the next thing you know, it's kind of like, you ever had a watered-down Coca-Cola? Watered-down Coca-Cola ain't very good. I like the original. I like the one that ain't watered. I like to be able to see the color of it. No, that's a real thing. That's from an old Coke man saying that, okay? The Bible. Why is it what it says? It hurts when you're lost to hear. When you're saved, it's the strength and the power. It actually makes you stronger. It confirms. It satisfies. It soothes. I could go on and talk to you about how God's Word is. But there's a reason why I've said all that. In John chapter 14, I want to read a passage of Scripture that I'm not going to read at all. Our time won't let us to do it. But I want to read just a touch or two ahead of it. Bible says in verse 14 of the 14th chapter, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, this is Jesus speaking. If you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Without reading that the whole entire part, he's kind of talking about there's going to come a time that I'm not going to be here. Now, whenever you think it's the Lord, and you know it's the words coming out of his mouth, I'm going to send somebody else in my place. That ain't something you want to hear. In fact, if you're a married person today, and your spouse is with you today, or if you're maybe your spouse is working or at home, you don't want to hear, I'm fixing to die. Of course, they're not going to know, but you're not going to hear those words. Because the relationship that you have with them, you don't want death to depart and make a parting. Jesus is actually kind of saying, I'm not going to be with you. I'm going to leave. And whenever I leave, though, you'll not be left alone. I'm going to give you somebody else. You know what a substitute is? A substitute is not the original. Bingo. Not going to go further. But whenever you bring in that substitute, you might expect to be the same level. But you're in your mind, you know it's just a sub. They're not going to be on the same level. Not so with what the Holy Spirit is. In fact, any amount of the Bible that you read, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they're actually three in one. Now, that doesn't make sense if you're lost, but just trust me. But those three are and I'm going to say interchangeable because that we can understand that a little better. But there's no difference, even though you understand what I'm saying. But when God says something, it's actually backed up by the Lord and by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says something, it's actually backed up by God the Father and God the Son. In fact, the Bible says there's like three in one. Now, that's hard to understand, isn't it? It's kind of hard to grasp in your mind that reality. But Jesus said, I'm going to give you this comforter. Now, that's what we've read so far. And the Bible says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. That kind of sounds like that doesn't make sense, doesn't it? They see him. The world cannot receive him. They don't really see him. Oh, he's a physical body, but they don't really see him. But yes, they do see him. Doesn't make sense. It's kind of like reading the Bible. To some folks, the Bible is not very clear. But to others, it's perfectly clear. I'm not double talking. Just hang with me just a little bit, please. Even the Spirit of the truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, that he may dwell with you, and ye and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 19 is our text verse. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. May we pray. Father, I thank you for the words. And I pray, God, today you have your way. Oh, God, move upon us today. Thank you, Lord, for what you do for us. Thank you, God, for that Holy Spirit of guidance and direction. Lead us now and have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus says something here that's almost hard to kind of understand. It's almost like You hear the words, but there's a part of you that don't want to hear the words. But there's a part of it that, because you heard it, it actually gives you comfort. You see, there's a lot of things that a doctor might do to you when you go to the doctor's office. When you was a kid growing up, you really didn't understand what they would do except when you understood the word shots. You understood that. We have a relationship with a dog around our house sometimes, and he loves to go to the vet. That dog ain't got any sense in the world, but when he drives and then that parking lot there, that vet, that dog jumps from the front seat to the back seat and would cover his head up if he could had some fingers. He just can't do it. But you know, you're almost dragging that dog in that doctor's office. You know why? Because when he's went there before, or she had went there before, she'd been prodded, shot, and everything else. You can't blame a dog for wanting to go to the doctor, a veterinarian. You can't blame a kid for wanting to go to a veterinarian because they're treated the same way. And guess what? Some of you stubborn folks out there, not me, mention, I ain't going to no doctor, I'm not sick, because you know what they're going to do to you. The reason why I said that is there's a part of this Bible, a part of this Bible that is good for you. But there's a part of this Bible that when you absorb it, it's like medicine. It tastes terrible, but it's good for you. It gives you that which you need. It'll satisfy that longing of that heart. It will give you something that you didn't really know you was going to get it until you got it. And when you got it, you are thankful for it. Now let me read the verse. Here's what the verse says. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. I don't know how many times that we have been around people that really don't love the Lord. Now, I'm kind of amazed at it. I'm kind of amazed that anybody would say, I'm not going to say I love the Lord, but I'm not going to do very... See, there's a lot of folks that really don't want to tell the Lord that they love them. Why? Because they don't love the Lord. There's a lot of folks that out of their mouth comes language. Language that, friend, I want to tell you that curse God, defy God. Friend, there's a lot of folks that's just a normal way of speaking for them, that every other word or every fifth word, they like to throw that other adjective out there and think that they're all powerful, that they know everything, that they're strong, that they're able to do it. Guess what you're doing? You're taking God's name in vain. Now, that may not sound like much, but friend, the Lord has made a difference in this world. He's made a difference. You don't have to be saved. You don't have to be. You can live in this world every day that God gives you. You can do everything in your own ability and own power and own will, and you don't have to have God. God never said you'll be saved or you'll burn. No, there's a reason that God says He wants you to be saved. It's not because you're going to burn, but there's a voice that'll speak to you for a very different reason. I didn't get saved to avoid hell. I got saved because God loved my soul and loved me. Big difference, isn't it? Because you know and I know that if I don't get saved, hell will be my home. And you might say, well, I didn't choose to go here. If you don't choose God, guess where you're going to go? But the Bible says in this passage, it's not going to be but just a short little while, and you're not going to see me no more. The people of the world can rejoice at that right there. They can be happy because, friend, the Lord came in this world and He caused all kinds of trouble because they were happy in the condition that they were living in. You see, to live and be a part of this world, many folks are happy living a worldly life. They don't mind their cursing and swearing. They don't mind their carousing around. They don't mind their life that they call the righteous living life, the life of the world. They don't mind. That's the life that they want. Because many folks, whenever you're going down the path of sin, you don't see no other way. You don't see no other path. You don't see no other way but that kind of living. And for God to come down in the flesh, to come down to me and you, and to try to tell us there's a better way of life, some folks just don't want to hear it. The reason why we don't have more folks in church today is because folks don't want to hear it. But I want you to know something. When Jesus made that statement, it's not going to be too long. I'm not going to be here. It didn't make everybody happy. In fact, the disciples would have been sad. Now, friend, that's the reason I kind of went back to the spill of the Bible. 2,000 years after Christ, I get to see that, I get to hear that, I get to read that, and I can say, you know what, if I'd have been there, I wouldn't have wanted him to left. I'd have wanted him to stay. It's kind of like your spouse. You don't want your spouse to die. You want them to stay. You'll do everything in your power. You'll spend all the money in medicine, get the best doctor, do whatever it takes. You want to do everything in your power to preserve your family members, mother, father, brother, sister, husband, wife. You're doing everything in your power. And friend, when Jesus comes along and says, guess what? It's just a little while and you'll see me no more. You'll see me no more. It's a good thing every morning to get up and see your loved ones, isn't it? It's a good thing every morning get up and no matter how bad a day you got, it's a good thing to see your loved ones. But on the day that Jesus departed, those disciples, and I'm not going to read all those because of time, but those disciples stood up on that mount and watched as Jesus ascended into heaven. Oh my goodness, it had to get a hold of them. It had to bother them. It had to be something that, oh, why did he have to go? You ever been at some of your loved ones' funeral and say the very thing, oh, why did they have to go? You see, whenever you really love somebody, you want them to always be around you. You want them to always stay. But friend of mine, I've got good news for you. If they've been born again and you're born again, you'll see them again. Amen. But if they're lost and you're saved, you won't be with them through eternity because they're going to a different spot. But what Jesus said, he said, I'm not going to always be with you. They didn't grab it just right offhand, but let me read it. Yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but you see me because I live. But you see me. And that having him say, because I live, he says, ye shall live also. Now, I don't know about you, but he promised them that they would know he was alive, and you will know that he's alive. I don't quite grab that just right off of hand. Is he talking about an earthly life? Well, no, he died. Are they talking about earthly seeing him again? No, didn't quite grab that. You don't have to turn to this, but because I've got it marked, it's a whole lot quicker for me. I want to read something that in the book of Corinthians. A lot of times in the Bible, I don't get an opportunity to read everything. And sometimes when I look at these things, I say, I don't understand it. I don't understand why in the world, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, and just kind of listen to what he had to say. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. But it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man. The natural man hears that Jesus is going to leave. They don't think a thing in the world about it. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Those last two words made the whole verse. The last two words, because when the world hears about Jesus, when the world knows what the preacher might say, it is until we get to the last two words that it's spiritually discerned. That means when a person has been born again, his spirit bears witness with God's spirit. And all of a sudden, my understanding changes. Changes. I don't understand the Bible. I was lost. I couldn't read it, but just like a book. But whenever I got saved, little by little by little, the Lord began to open up the words
that it made spiritual sense to me. It didn't make spiritual sense before. All I was glad to get away from the Lord. I was glad to leave church. I didn't want to be around God's people. But since I've got saved, my tastes have changed. My likes have changed. My love has changed. It's all of a sudden now what I see. It's all because I understand more than I've ever understood before. Now, you know why? It's not because I've been in church many, many years. No, sir. I began to understand it when I was a little child in Christ. May have been older, but I was a young person in Christ. And little by little, what the preacher might say or what the word might say, all of a sudden began to talk to me. And I began to understand it verse by verse. Not all in succession. I might understand John 3:16 today, but friend of mine, it might be Job 14:14. It might go from there to Genesis 3:1 or Revelation. And all of a sudden, God began to speak in different passages of Scripture, but it had the same message. And that message was not to the person sitting next to me. The message was to me. Yet a little while, the world's not going to see me no more. But because I live, ye shall live also. Because I live, Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. Because of what I have been able to accomplish through salvation for the entire world, ye shall live also. Listen to me. I want to read you something that found in the book of Mark. And Mark, and this one's kind of, a lot of folks don't read this very much, but I want you to listen to it. In Mark 16, the Bible says, and they went in chapter 16, verse 13, they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the leaven as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. We as God's people, will hear somebody talk about what God has done, and we will have unbelief. Oh, it was maybe good for them, but it's not good enough for me. Maybe they're making that up. Friend, God's goodness is to every one of us. We don't have to see the Lord to know the Lord is here. We don't have to feel the Lord to know the Lord is here. Thomas said, unless I reach my hand in his side, unless I feel those prints of that nails, I'm not going to believe. But when the Lord appeared unto him, what did he say? My Lord and my God. Amen. You don't have to have a physical, but you sure better have a spiritual. It better not be what I would call indigestion neither. It better be soul-searching time. You ought to be able to feel God's presence in your life. Now, I'm not talking about jumping over pews backwards. I'm talking you ought to be able to feel the presence of God inside of your heart. Something like we call a no-soul salvation. Something that you can bank on by reading a page in this Bible, be able to put in your heart, be able to pray, that know that God will answer your prayer, to be able to hear, to know that He hears you, and to be able to understand you, and you to understand Him. You see, there's a difference. These disciples in Mark 16, they had heard, but they wanted to see. They wanted to grab a hold of it. Friends, sometimes we must accept God 2,000 years later by faith. By faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
When we're looking at this Bible, when we're looking at what he says, when we're looking at the ability to see what God says to do, the world can no longer see Christ. But guess what? He lives in my heart. He lives inside. He's the one that says, do this, don't do this. He's the one that when we come up to a crossroads, whether we go left or right, he's the one, if we're praying for God's leadership, he'll lead us the way to go. But friend, if you're wanting to trust yourself, you get to that unnatural, you get to that foolish man. You'll get to that one that don't listen to anything. I want to read you something that may not make a whole lot of sense, but it does kind of to me in Galatians in chapter 2. Listen to verses, Galatians chapter 2 and verses 20. Listen to one verse. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, here's these words, I live. But I want to read it one more time. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Don't that sound like what happened to Christ happened to me? Oh, I wasn't put on Calvary's cross. I didn't shed my blood on Calvary's cross. No, sir. Christ did that for me. He substituted himself for me. He is my substitute. If he hadn't stood in my behalf, I'd have stood on my own. But because he lives, I get to live. He took my place. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth where? In me. In me. And if you say, well, there's no way, preacher, that the Lord speaks to you. Friend, he don't just speak to me. He'll speak to you. You don't come to church to hear what the preacher has to say and that's all you get to hear for the whole week. No, sir. This is just a message that God laid up on our heart. What you get to observe every single day, every single hour that you're awake in this world, you can experience Christ inside of you, speaking to you, guiding you, directing you, helping you. You see, when Christ said he lives within me, if I go back to the original verse that we read was, I'm going to live and you're going to live also. Right now, this old clay is the only thing that's holding me back from seeing God. What do you mean, preacher? Whenever I leave this old clay in the grave one day, this old spirit, this soul of mine, the spirit that lives within me is going to make a change. And that change is going to go to be with God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm going to make that change. I'm going to make that move. Why? Because the Christ that lives within me is going to take me home on that day. On that day, on that hour. When you look at someone that's recently passed, all that is their little tabernacle, what they lived in. You don't see them. You can poke on them. They don't move. They don't jostle. There ain't no way that flesh can ever come back to life. You know why? God done took that soul and done took them away. Only on that one occasion that God give us, that one occasion in the Bible to make it prove. Well, you got old Lazarus said, well, he done been dead 4 days, but that ain't nothing. God said, Lazarus, come back. And when Lazarus come back, that body was dead. That body, he done gone. You could poke and prod him all you want to. He'd have never moved. But when the Lord says, come back, he came back. Why did he do that? If he has power to take us down or let us die, he has power to bring us back. Amen. Friend of mine, won't be long, the Lord says, I'm going.
but I live. And because I live, you're going to live also. I'm not here telling you that I have hope only in this world. No, sir. I'm here to tell you my hope is beyond the grave. That's where I'm headed. Sooner than later. Let me hurry quickly through this. Whenever this was spoken, and he spoke that in Galatians, and he said, the faith that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The life which I now live. What does that mean? That meant there wasn't too long ago earlier in this apostle's life that his life, he was lost. And he says, the life that I now live. That meant there was something changed from when he was originally born until the part right now. He says, there's something happened. There's a life that I live now that's different from the life that I lived before. You know what? When I was lost, I didn't understand that. But whenever I got saved, I realized God loved me. He loved me. And because he loved me, he didn't want me to continue in the life that I was living. Now, you may think your life has a lot of meaning. You may have a lot of friends, prosperity, all the things that you want to name. But I can tell you one thing, without the Lord, there's something missing in your heart. Yeah. It's kind of like looking for a deep, settled peace that'll never come. It's like the missing element that makes you complete. And friend, Christ has made me whole. I can have all kinds of physical ailments, moan and groan every day. But I got news for you. What God's done for my soul, what God's done for me, friend of mine, is perfect. I'm going home one day. I'm going to be able to fulfill the scripture. This one right here in John 14 where it says, because I live, ye shall live also. World didn't grab that one. I'm glad I did. I'm glad to know that you can be saved today. I'm glad I know you can live for the Lord. Right now you're going through the turmoil. Inside, outside, we all look fine, don't we? But it's that internal fight. And that internal fight is the devil wanting to pull you this way and the Lord wanting to pull you this way. I want you to know something. My life is worth living because of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing. Brother Greg, a song. 385. I can't tell you a lot because time won't permit me to tell you all the story. But I can tell you I passed from death unto life. I can tell you that. I can tell you my thoughts have changed. I can tell you my ways have changed. In fact, I can also tell you that all things pass away, and behold, all things become new. How's that possible? If you trust him with your soul. If you'll trust him, he'll save your soul. May we stand at our feet and God speaking to you. I trust that you'll come. I'll be more than willing to meet with you, but you come.